I think I like to mark the coming together around, let's call it the truth or the deepest. Intuition. There's something about coming together. I'm not the first to remark upon that. And I think we should really feel the effects of that, really, even though we're, each one in our. Everybody's muted. Even though we're in different corners of the universe, physically, we have come together. And created a field, a shrine of sorts. We've entered a sacred space. And it's very symbolic because as soon as we enter this sacred space, it's as if we were entering another dimension. In the shrine, in this gathering around truth, it's no longer about me, the person, sort of engaging, struggling, coping with my life, others, my relations, my activities, etc. When we enter this field, it's I don't really know how to put it into words. It's the battle, the struggle, the engagement, all of that, of what happens outside the shrine can relax in a big way. It's as if we were folding ourselves back into our simplest expression, in the sense that we're not referring to the past so much or projecting into the future. We are gathering around an invisible altar. That we could name presence. Or if we stay with the metaphor of the waves, we've gathered around to acknowledge the ocean. So I really want to also say that it's very natural. At other times, in other contexts, for things to be more complicated, to explore our lives as persons and talk to our friends on a walk, talk to a therapist, talk to ourselves, all sorts of explorations. And then there's this other dimension. And they don't contradict one another. They're just different sort of moments. And of course, outside the shrine, the ocean, our true nature, presence is here. Presence doesn't go anywhere. Presence is always here. But outside the shrine, we may take our wave shape more. I don't want to say seriously, but we may engage with it more. We get busy with our lives. It's natural, and we suffer, and life challenges us. And there's an exploration around that. But you know, when you go to countries like India, or I don't know, I haven't been to other Asian countries, but I suspect it's the same in many Eastern countries and probably Middle Eastern countries too. People go to the temple, like, I don't know, at least twice a day. And obviously in the Middle East, people go to their prayer mats. So here we are, taking a break with God. Or should I say, taking a break in God? In presence. So allowing the flow of experience moment by moment to be as it is without needing to do anything, and even the allowing is too much. The allowing is allowing. You don't have to manufacture it. In God, everything is taken care of. And there's infinite space for thoughts, feelings, emotions, stories, sense perceptions, whatever arises to unfold. There's infinite space for anything that arises to unfold naturally. Breath. The sound of this voice. We're so habituated to itemize our experience. To bring to bear the context, the past, the future. To bring to bear, is it pleasant, unpleasant, all that kind of thing. But here and now, that's too much work. That one, or that habit that divides experience, or rather that habit of dividing, itemizing, conceptualizing experience here and now, just let it be. If it's doing its thing, no problem. But sooner or later, if there's no sticky point, if there's nothing to stick onto, the thoughts begin to relax. The thinking gets the message. A little bit when we're about to fall asleep, there's still thinking, but the thinking becomes loose. It doesn't stick anymore to a narrative, a focus, and it starts to unwind, and there's a bit more space around the thoughts, and the thoughts and the sensations recognize that they're brother and sister. And here, in this moment, the sound of Ellen's voice, the thought, the sensation, brothers and sisters, equal, equally unfolding. Everything equal, like clouds. And you're the sky. You get to be the sky when you're in the shrine, and you get to stop caring so much about all those things that you care so much about when you're outside the shrine. Because now you're the sky. Outside the shrine, you're a person. You're playing the game of being a person. But here, now, let that wave melt into the ocean. Pause the game. Take a bath in yourself. Nothing matters is what is whispered to the clouds of experience, which doesn't mean I reject you, you don't matter. It means you're free, cloud, tension, breath, thought. I'm not interested in you because you are so close to me. I don't need to be interested in you. You're a ripple in me. Now, to begin with, and maybe not just to begin with, there will be resistance in many different forms. Resistance has many faces. And embedded in a resistance is a sort of belief that something should be different. There's a kind of expectation. It's conditioned by the past and the future. The resistance, for example, a tension in the body that is resisted, is conditioned by the feeling that it's going towards relaxation. It needs to go towards relaxation. But there is no expectation here, here and now. Zero expectation. There is just what is. And so the tension in the body, for example, is perhaps purified of having to transform, to change, to relax, to dissolve. It just is. A cloud surrounded with openness, with allowing. Of course, we're still in time and space, and so, or rather, there is still time and space. In the shrine, it's, you know, we're not, there's still Ellen speaking to each one of you and each one of you with your experience. It's as if my words were reminding us of the deepest reality. There's only one reality. Just to remind ourselves. And not just conceptually, but also on a feeling level. There's only one reality. So welcoming the body now. And what I call the body in the shrine is not the same body as outside the shrine, in the sense that it's not the body that I see in the mirror, not the body that I remember or that I think. It's just this direct unfolding of sensations, textures. I have to put words, but even the words should make way for very raw, non-conceptual In fact, maybe we could say the body is life itself. So welcome the so-called body, moment by moment. Completely fresh and new. And we add a little dose of awe and curiosity. What is, but not what is, because what is will awaken thinking, but more like tasting the texture, the temperature. The quality of tension, the quality of openness. The movement, rhythm. Feel where your body, where your pelvis is resting on the cushion, the chair, the floor. Allow yourself without, I have to use words, so I use the word pelvis, which immediately will trigger, you know, all sorts of things. But see if you can just be with the direct, raw sort of feeling of the pelvis, of this base, the weight of it, the volume, the breath, feel the breath allowed to move in that area, in that landscape, the connection with the earth. Really surrender the weight there. Don't allow the mind to create a hard floor that separates me and the earth. Rather, offer the weight of the pelvis and of the legs to the energy of the earth. Receive the energy of the earth. These words are meant to be just suggestions. Nothing needs to happen. Welcome the shoulders, the arms, the hands. See if you can surrender the weight of the arms from the shoulders. With the help, perhaps, of the breath. Follow the invitation and then let go of the words. Just see what happens. You're the sky, and in a way, the body is a furling, unfurling cloud. Let your body cloud discover its new environment. In a way, let the body live in you. Rather than you living in a body. Or if you want to live in a body, give yourself permission to live in a body that is discovering that its substance is openness. And I know that there's all sorts of feelings that are shouting out, no, no, it's not open here, it's pretty tense, it hurts, it's scared. It's more than scared. So, what to do with those creatures? Nothing. Give them space, taste them. Meaning, allow them, because you're the openness, you allow these no feelings. You allow them to be, I don't know how to say it, to be eaten by you, to be taken. And they may not dissolve immediately, that's okay. Doesn't matter. That would be, you know, wanting it to dissolve immediately would be such a violence, right? Let your poor body do whatever it wants. But you're just inviting it to relax, to cease serving the separate self. Feel your breath. See if your breath is allowed, it is allowed to move freely. Just notice. Taste. We don't have a preference in this case, you know. We just want to say hi to what is here with the breath. Tasting the belly, the movement or absence of movement with the breath and the abdomen. No judging, just tasting. What is living with the breath and my belly? And when I ask the question, it's not for the story, it's for the sensation, feeling. Make sure you don't manipulate the breath. Just let inhale rise. The exhale. The inhale, no pulling of the inhale too much, no pushing. Of course, again, that's an invitation. Become very interested in the pulling and the pushing. Nobody breathing, is that possible? Just breath. Now feel the breath, not just in the belly, feel it a wave. With the inhale, it rises from the root of the pelvis all the way up, and then with the out breath, travels back down. No reason to do this, nowhere to go. We're just tasting the body, the breath. Welcoming resistance. Slowly allow the body without opening the eyes. Just allow the body, the torso, to move very slowly. And rather than feeling that it's the physical body moving, feel that it's the body of sensation moving. So it's as if you felt your body more like an algae, like a plant in water, and the water is rippling around the body, moving the spine, moving the arms. Really see how the body of sensation is carried into movement without it becoming a matter of thinking. Your arms, your elbows, your shoulders, your fingers, your breath, your elbows. Fingertips very alive, touching. Palms of the hands, air. There's no right or wrong here, so let it be. There might be a feeling that I'm doing it, I'm controlling it, that's fine. And now I want us to allow the body to come, to travel back to stillness very, very slowly, without doing it. Be the place where the body returns to. Allowing the arms, the shoulders, the fingers, the spine, the legs, the face, the whole body to dissolve in me. Maybe not completely, but me, feel you as a place to return to, as the place that experience returns to. The sound of this voice arising out of you and returning into you, arising, returning. Feel the same with the breath. And again, let the body begin to be taken by the currents of movements. Slowly and smooth, it's so that we can purify the movement moment by moment of that mover that directs and controls. Slow, easy, weightless. Nobody doing it. Or if there's a feeling of I'm doing it, let that be, and let the doer be very connected to the openness all around. So I am the wave moving myself But I'm surrounded with the water of the ocean, so see what comes. If the body wants to stand up, let it happen. Let the head also be invited. Forget about the shape that the personal body has. Just let this be sort of a raw, unpredictable flow. You're not quite sure where you're located, if you have to be located. And if there's pain in the body, let that ripple out into the openness, the shoulders, the articulations, full of whatever they're holding, may be beginning to release out with the help of the breath. Yes, and again, slowly, slowly, take your position. Positionless position, and let the body fold back slowly into you, slowly. The weight surrendered. The hands dissolving, disappearing, your hands merging with the contact, the texture of what is touched. After the physical movement ceases, the subtle movement continues, the weight, the movement of the weight continues to flow down the shoulders, the jaw, the cheeks, the eyelids. The back body, warm water, flowing down the back body so it can relax down. Meanwhile, there's a little feeling of a flame of energy rising in the front body from the pubic bone. Don't do anything, just feel that little flame of energy. Very sensual, very tactile from the pubic bone. And only if you feel it, don't manufacture it. But the invitation is that the arms, the back body, the legs, the hips are all becoming rivers flowing down. And then there's this little line right at the core. Center of the torso in front, rising up. But it's not physical, so don't push it. Long inhale, long exhale. Let your body be free of borders. And the breath can help. With the in-breath, just let all the pores of your skin relax and be permeated. The exhale, allowing the inner space and the outer space to come together. The in-breath, it's like a mixing, a fuzzing up. The exhale, same thing. In fact, we don't know where the in-breath and the out-breath take place, so let's keep it that way. Inhale, pause. Exhale, pause. So gently you can elongate the breath, and if you know Ujjayi breath, you can apply Ujjayi, the gentle filter in the back of the throat, which creates a very beautiful sound for the breath and helps it be even, smooth. Inhale. Exhale. Letting the breath speak to the body, and it's saying, sweet body, it's saying, sweet body, it's saying, hello, sweet body. It's saying, I bring you, I'm bringing you a taste of the openness that is your substance. With the exhale, the body perhaps says, oh yes, I remember. And make sure the in-breath speaks to those parts of your experience that are so so fearful to come out. They don't have to come out, but still the breath can reach them. That contraction in the solar plexus, that very, very intimately familiar me feeling, me, the fearful me, the anxious me, the terrified me, whatever it may be in this moment. Doesn't really need to be labeled. Maybe it's the thinking me, which would be possibly located in the head area. And so the in-breath travels there, carrying not only the message of openness, but the taste of openness. And now feel the totality of your body as if it were one mass, one vibrating mass, or rather not as if, feel it as one vibrating mass. Always the breath. And let this vibrating mass of aliveness, let it be free of any hard edges. And if it doesn't work, if it doesn't happen, you might want to whisper again, "It's safe." You might say to the wave that is your body, "You little body are in my body." The vast, borderless body, so it's completely safe. Just to be, just to be. And anytime there's resistance or that very old habit of, yeah, so what next? And this isn't working, or just bless that feeling with the breath. Let it be. There's no reason why our bodies and our minds should relax and dissolve in one swift meditation. It doesn't happen that way. But it doesn't matter, because we take a bath in our deepest identity, and there is an echo, a ripple through the body mind. And then the body mind wants to come back to the shrine more often, just to have a bath, preferably together and naked, by the way. innocently naked, body, minds, sharing a bath of presence. So don't do anything now. Not that we were doing that much, but let's just abiding together, holding hands virtually together. In presence. Let that image dissolve. Just presence. We'll take a 5-minute break and come back. Thank you. Okay. If anybody wants to speak, feel free to ask or share. It's a small group, so I guess I mean by that, don't be shy and no obligations. And just, you can just unmute yourselves. Yes, Annika, hi.
Hello, Ellen. Great to be back.
Long time.
It was as if you spoke to me personally the whole beginning. That was great. What I noticed during the meditation is when I sort of focus on these parts where me resides, the tension, the hurt, like the chronic pain parts, they tighten up. But when I relax that specific focus and I feel my body as an open field, they come out of their hiding place because then they say, okay, now it's safe. And now we know where home is, so to say. So I feel that that for now is the way because it feels too unsafe to be addressed personally, but actually very beautiful if I just show this is it, this is the openness, this is the allowing, no pressure, no musts, no shoulds, then they start to relax. So that's what I noticed. So
Sounds good, Annika.
yeah.
I mean, hopefully that's what was pointed to in the meditation. And I think it's true that when we focus, and sometimes I probably am guilty of focusing us on an area of resistance, it can intensify the resistance. So
Yes.
don't hesitate to move away and to always return to a global feeling of the body and the field.
Yeah, because when I say or when you said sweet body and it is safe, it was as if you were sketching like, look, this is what it's like. And you see that openness and you know that it's you know, like that, then it starts to peek around the corner. So thank you for that. Great.
Nice to see
Thank you.
you again, Annika.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes, Zach, 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 Zach,
Zach, Zach.
Zach, Zach.
Hi, Helen. Thank you very much for a lovely meditation. I really enjoyed it. One thing I felt was that soon after you started the meditation, I kind of my head and my body started kind of swaying, and it was like it was being swayed. It just very, very, very gently. I felt like I was in a sea almost. And I felt that most of the meditation. I know later you allowed the body to move, but I seemed to have naturally just very, very gently. So I didn't even notice it.
And was that problematic or was it nice?
No, it was beautiful.
Sounds
It was like I was floating. It was really
Yeah.
beautiful.
That sounds lovely, you know. You know, the prescription in meditation in all traditions is stillness. But I'm thinking if women, more women had been at the root of meditation, I wonder if what you were experiencing may have been more the sort of tradition. And if and there, you know, in the Sufi tradition, it seems to me there's the zikr where they move, they move. Anyway, but this was happening spontaneously and
Yeah, and it was great because one thing I have noticed with normal meditation is that stillness is so difficult to maintain. So allowing the body to do what it wants to do just felt really, really nice.
yeah. And in a way, stillness is also nice if it can be a very a living stillness, you know. And I think that's what I try to help us feel when we move the body, and then I say, be that openness to which the body returns. And then somehow, so hopefully, at least I feel that the stillness that is tasted then is not this sort of I need to be still. It's a stillness, it's more like an openness where movement has folded back into, in which movement has folded back. So that would be the invitation, but I definitely would always think that when movement arises spontaneously, to allow it, unless you can see that it's arising out of a resistance of some sort, in which case it's interesting to maybe investigate the resistance. But it sounds like that was not the case. Anyway, do you have anything else you want to say, Zach?
No, just very, very, very beautiful. When you mentioned about coming back to the position, when you guided into that, it was like a coming together more than a more than a rigidness. It was just coming together. That's the only way I could kind of describe. Very gentle. It wasn't rigid. Yeah. It wasn't a position.
Exactly. Exactly. It's nice, the coming together, a bit like the wave coming back together with the ocean, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Likewise.
How did you come, Zach? How did you find this?
Oh, well, I've been following Rupert for some time, but Hilke did some meditations. Part of the group, a couple 50%. Of them, yeah, and they were absolutely amazing. She, you know, so she got me kind of hooked on it. So I thought I'd, and somebody mentioned that you do these. I think somebody in the group mentioned, so I thought I'd come along as I enjoyed Hilke's meditation so much.
Wonderful. Maybe I should. When is your meditation, Hilke? I'd like to come to your meditation. Anyway, you'll tell me. Somebody's not muted. Oh, it's you, Zach. No, anyway, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, Ellen, I was guiding when you had holidays. So we wanted to keep the shrine warm. Uh-huh. It was so lovely. And supporting each other.
Nice, lovely.
So lovely people, so the togetherness always does its job, and the shrine, it's not me, you know that. Thank you
Hilke. Yes, Neil.
Well, just to say deep gratitude to have found my way here, and to feel so clearly the sensation of the body arising within stillness, and the vibrancy and transparency of it. And ease. So just that. But I couldn't ask for more. So a deep thank you.
You're very welcome, Neil. Are you thank also you. Coming through Hilke or Rupert or?
No, you were mentioned to me by Stephen Bodian.
Okay. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah. And I had an interest from, particularly in the experience of the sensation of the body, seems to be a very potent conduit for me. So he thought I might find what you were doing.
Good.
He was right. Thank you.
Nice to see you, meet you.
Likewise. Thank you.
We have Sandra doing her yoga, her real yoga. No, keep going, Sandra. Yes, Zach.
Sorry, just another question. How close to the meditations that you do, how close are they to Jean Klein? Because I know that, were you a student of his, or were you?
I never met Jean Klein, because he was, I'm a student of, well, my teacher was, he's more like a friend now, but Francis Lucille, who, and Eric Barre, who both were very close students of Jean Klein. But I think each one of us takes the, you know, takes it and it gets transformed inevitably. But it, and yes, so that, but there's definitely a flavor of what Jean Klein, I think Jean Klein did more postures and breath work, and during his yoga, it was more active in that way. And sometimes I'm more like that, but today was more meditative. We didn't do much postures or movement. But it's definitely in that tradition. Francis, you see, Jean Klein and Eric were very close. So Eric Barre, who still teaches, but he teaches in French mainly, they would never even speak of consciousness. You would go to their session. I'm talking about the yoga session, because Jean Klein and Eric then do dialogues where they would probably concede to speaking and conceptualizing a little bit more. But if you went to Jean Klein or Eric's, you would just be with the raw experience of the body. And it's in the exploration, the tactile exploration, that the truth is revealed in a tactile way. Whereas Francis, and I was influenced very much by Francis, he would use images to, like, the sky to the clouds, or use the word consciousness or presence during the yoga meditations. And also with Francis, we would investigate the me in the body feeling, the feeling of being located in a body. So I've you know, taken from everything that inspired me. I think, like anybody who shares their understanding, so there's a bit of also a lot of Francis in there, and then a lot of other, I guess, you know, also I'm a woman, which probably has a very deep effect on how the teaching is communicated.
And how much does Rupert influence the meditation? Rupert
influenced my meditations.
Yeah. What, any influence from Rupert? Just interesting point.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't. You would have to decide that, I think.
Yeah,
sure. Rupert and I share the same teacher, but I think we're very different expressions. But yes, there's, you know, it doesn't matter, Zach, you know.
No.
Yeah, I'm curious, what is your question? You know, what is it about for you?
Yeah, just really to try. I mean, obviously, I've looked at some of Jean Klein's stuff. I've looked at a bit of Francis's stuff, and I'm experiencing you, and it's just all these different experiences. And I suppose I'm trying to, like yourself, trying to understand where it all comes from, how I can incorporate it into, and maybe understand it a little bit better.
But it all comes from the same intuition and revelation of our true nature. That is the main source. And after that, and you have to go where your resonance is. Really, you know, where it resonates, then stay there for a bit.
I would
suggest, yeah.
All resonates a little bit.
then bubble around, especially when it's a because it is a family, you know, Jean Klein, Eric, Francis, Rupert, myself, and then, you know, there are others that are in that sort of tree, family tree.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Annika, are you wanting to say something again?
Sorry if I'm taking time again, but there is this longing for freedom. And I know that the longing invites me to go home to what is really free. But simultaneously, there is also a longing to be free as a human being, like no norms, no restrictions, limits, and express freely as I am. But I'm discovering that true freedom, weird enough, is accepting everything as it is, already is, without my personal control and everything. So it's weird that the surrender to what I am and it expresses as is the freedom I'm seeking. So I'm sort of surrendering to how life expresses in the moment, which is not always what I want, you know? And still, that is the freedom. That's does it make sense, what I'm saying?
Sort of. I think you're saying that, you know, freedom is not a personal, it's not something we can acquire. Freedom is our true nature. Freedom is our true nature. But there's, we have glimpses of our true nature, especially in gatherings like this or in meditations or elsewhere. We might have very strong glimpses where we really see very clearly and recognize clearly that all is unfolding in impersonal freedom. But then the wave or the person that each one of us is, there's more of not a struggle, but it's, you know, there's going to be a deep feeling of wanting, of desiring, of striving, of moving towards, of not liking, all those things that make up the separate, I don't like saying the separate self, the person, it's natural. And so I think you know.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
That is also unfolding in freedom because it's, you know, ultimately it's God's play, it's creation, it's the garland of creation, everything, including the moment where absolutely trapped is divine, you know, ultimately. So it's all good, but it's okay as a person, as Annika, as Ellen, as Len, to sometimes explore more personally what, you know, what freedom of expression, what's in the way, why, you know, what in my history has impacted my body mind. And it's fine to look at freedom in a more relative way, but just to know what's what, that's we're talking there, exploring it in a relative way.
But again,
even that happens in the ultimate. So there's no
need. But it's a great, I'm saying also, like, you're seeing that the body is free because it's borderless, but I've noticed that is the same for thoughts or feelings when I dive deep enough. Mm-hmm. So, and then to say that, okay, it's okay to let anger speak and to let anger speak, and then see that when I let it be freely, it is freedom itself. I don't know how to express it properly.
You're saying it properly, Annika.
Okay. So it's such a subtle line.
Don't be too concerned about
Okay.
The idea of freedom.
Mm-mm.
Don't be too concerned about getting it right. Which is it, freedom or it just?
Mm-mm.
I would just be simple. Be in your heart. Don't worry too much about expressing your feelings. And is it okay because it's going to be freedom if I let it?
Because otherwise I place another norm, right?
I don't know why I'm saying that to you, but I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I hear you.
I feel like saying that, like.
Just be free.
Well, you are already free. Your deepest nature is free. But you, Anneke, or me, Ellen, might not always feel free. Feel free not to feel free. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I'm saying feel free. Be free. Yeah. Okay, then that's exactly what I'm sort of pointing at. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say anymore. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome, Anneke.
Mm.
Is that you, Claire? Is that a little
hand? Yeah, that was me. In addition to having the whole field, everybody here bathing together innocently, which was absolutely lovely. Naked was absolutely lovely. I always get pearls every time I come to the shrine, and the pearls today are even allowing is too much. That was like, opened up a whole nother dimension. And the other one was, the body that you are is not the one you see in the mirror, which was a big relief, but but it's life itself.
Mm-hmm. It's also life the itself, body you but... see in the mirror, by the way.
Yeah. but today it was a relief.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad there were some things for you. It's always nice to have you, Claire.
Yeah.
Yes, Sandra, you finished your yoga, young woman. Oh, you need to unmute yourself.
Yeah, there we go.
Hi.
So, hi, Ellen, and everybody.
It's rare that you have your camera on.
I know, because I'm always doing stuff and I don't want to distract, just like today, and I forgot to turn it off, so.
We caught you.
I'm here, though, and I love your meditations, obviously. I've been doing them for a long time, and I hate missing any. But I want to, something that I want to just put out and see what you have to say is about moodiness.
Yeah.
I've been waking up in moods and finding myself in moods. I finally realized to call them moods. And I feel often like just so lost. And when a mood has taken over, it's like, that's the sky.
Yeah.
That the mood, like I can't, there's nobody to, even begin to have awareness. It's like the mood is awareness. I guess I would say, I'm trying to formulate it, that I so easily get lost and identified with a mood. I mean, I've been working on feelings for so long and sensations, and I'll say, well, this is a sensation. Well, if I even have the presence of mind to have that thought, which in a mood, sometimes I don't even have such a thought. I'm just kind of lost.
I wonder if there's so many possibilities here, but maybe this mood that's taking up a lot of space is needing some attention.
Yeah.
And here we are outside the shrine, right? Because in the shrine, and it's a bit arbitrary, but in the shrine, so to speak, then it's true that moods, if you're waking up and the mood has taken the whole space and you drag yourself onto your cushion, and here we are, and miraculously we're all here, and miraculously I or somebody else is guiding a meditation, then chances are there would be some help. to
yes,
find, right?
Yes.
So that's always an option, right? For all of us.
Well, you have to remember, you have exactly. to have the presence of mind. You have to have exactly. something.
Yeah. But then, you know, I think outside the shrine, gosh, life is so complex, you know, and a psyche is a complex thing. It's not a thing because it's very alive and it's very connected to the ultimate mind of God. But so I guess I encourage you to sometimes approach it maybe I'm sure you've done loads of therapy. You're Californian, but I don't know.
There's an end.
I because I, you know, I'm a therapist, and I will confess to you that I have recently re-engaged with psychoanalysis, Jungian psychoanalysis, and I am loving
Ooh,
it.
Fun. Yes.
And I'm discovering that I don't know exactly, like, it's worth exploring these areas, these shadows, these images, these projections, and but without an idea, an end game, without, you know, it's for the love of exploring, and preferably maybe with someone, or on your own, but with some kind of container, maybe artistic, and it's not always possible. Sometimes you wake up and the mood is dark and horrid, and you just have to drag yourself on until the mood breaks a bit and a tiny little something happens, and you have to discover what it is that is, what does she need, this little one, because it usually is a little one, a very little one.
Yeah, maybe
maybe is it a hug, is it you know, usually it's really basic stuff that it's so habitual.
Well, it's good to remember it's growing out of something. I what I do in the mornings, it helps, is I listen to one or the other, like a yoga nidra, to get into the body.
Yeah,
you know, just to start sensing.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, you're reminding me that that can,
but there might behind that mood, there might be something difficult.
Yeah. And you know, I think you know I kind of know that. Well, you go through, and when I go through periods and like this, something's trying to come up.
Yeah, but you know what,
like wanting to erupt.
It's not necessarily,
is it a form of resistance, is it, would you say, a mood like that?
Yes, it's probably a protecting of something that wants to come up that's difficult.
Yeah.
And that thing that wants to come up that's difficult, you may be very familiar with it. It's not like we get new material. And it's probably just a little one that wants to crawl into mommy's lap.
Feel like a, you know, a huge terrified something. You know, when I've touched in, like deep terror, like terror body. Mm. But I'm usually not in touch with that. It'd have to be a deep dive. So I think, yeah.
We have options. I mean, here we can't really dive into the.
No, I don't want to. I wondered what you would say about.
But I think you have the two possibilities that arise for you, hopefully soon enough. One is to make your way back to the shrine, so to speak, a meditation. You know what it is? It's something about kindness, love, that when that mood, that dark mood takes over, somehow love has been obscured, kindness, a feeling that I'm okay, which is the first step. How could I possibly let go into something like awareness or whatever you want to call it, if I'm not okay? I said, no fucking way, right? So that dark mood is your call, your expressing something there. And I don't know exactly how.
That's helpful. That's good. That's probably right.
I know that
like
when
I'm unconscious worthlessness or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And but so get on your knees and say to God, talk to God, say, Jesus Christ, are you letting me down again? You know, how long? Or whatever. You know, don't be shy with so-called God. I know some of you may not like that, but it's just this. When we're in the dark mood, we are not in God. We are outside God.
Yeah, then I wouldn't even think to get on my knees. That's the problem.
Well, you will. Yeah, well, maybe you will, because maybe
because we talk about it. So that's why I wanted to put it out.
But maybe
so,
also give yourself permission to be mad at God for letting
that's
you
fine down. I'm with that.
Yeah. In other words, just like a little child who has a healthy enough mom and the child feels let down by his or her mom will cry and say, mom, you know, you get your butt in here because I need you. So I would just give that place its respect.
No, you're right. I'm getting old. I'm quite old now. And I'm angry about this aging thing, like, okay. And dying. I mean, really? Fuck that. Well, it's sinking in. I lost both of my parents last year.
Okay.
You know, this ends. What? Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, this so maybe that's the mood. Anyway,
it could have some impact on my mood.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm because we need to end, Sandra. Thank but you. I feel very honored that you graced us with your mood and with your, you know.
Thanks. I know it feels like
Sandra. Maybe next time, tomorrow morning, if it's there, remember that we all have heard something about it, and maybe just, I don't know, just, you know, we're all here and we all heard it and we all understand. I mean, we all understand, right, guys? Yeah. Who doesn't understand this? Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you. I do. And I really appreciate it. I have a kind of hard time accepting, you know, the support.
You don't have
so this to is accept. Very yeah. touching for me. So thank you. Yeah.
All right, guys, group hug. See you next time, maybe. And thank you so much for coming. And
thanks, Ellen.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Take care.
Ellen. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Len.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye, Zuzu.
It's and wonderful Anna. To be here.
Oh. Oh, Nishkala. Hi. So nice to see you. I wasn't sure if it was the same Nishkala.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely to be here.
Yeah. All right. I'm checking out. Bye.
Bye.